welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing to do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, Brother Jim, and just me.
All right. And with that, Sister Emily, how are we doing tonight?
Feeling with my fingers.
All right. That's cool.
Trying to be a smart aleck with you there, Ken. Got to mess with you, you know that.
All right, that sounds good, good, good. And
other than my feet barking at me, I'm all right.
I didn't know they bark. Didn't know they were dogs.
All right, Kenny, behave. Remember what you just sent back over the house with me, Ken?
Yeah?
Guess what I's a-doing as we speak?
Huh?
Guess what I'm doing as we speak.
Okay.
I'm heating some of that special meatloaf you made and sent over here to the house. I'm heating some up. I'm going to share some with kiddies.
Does it look yummy?
Oh, yeah. Smells yummy, too.
Okay.
You said we had, Sister Ruth said we had the Smurf Chaser out here tonight.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I just got one thing to say to our favorite Smurf chaser on the gospel bus. Get well, get home, I miss you. And I love you too, you old man.
We want him home as soon as possible.
Well, God's will, and it'll be God's will in his time that'll happen.
Amen.
You okay there, Ken? Did you get an air bubble again?
Got one of them air bubbles.
You'll be all right, sweetie. We love you. No chest pain, Mike.
Nope.
No chest pain, Ken? You got chest pain?
No.
Just an air bubble. That's why I asked him, what was that, an air bubble? And guess what? I got 4 pussycats right at my feet.
Have to give them all hugs for us.
Oh, every time they hear Smurf Chaser's voice, they go nuts running around the house looking for him. Oh, Kenny, just as I was coming back here, I got a call from a girl named Melinda. She was asking for prayer for her grandmother, who was just put in the hospital today with COVID so bad they've got her on a respirator.
Okay. And any other prayer requests before we get started into our boogie music?
My normal for our first responders and all medical personnel, no matter where they might work.
Okay. And Ruth, how about you?
Also for dad and mom.
All right. And Ruth?
I have personal request.
All right. And everybody knows mine, so let us boogie.
Let's boogie.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
Shots ring out, everybody running for the door. Now you're on your knees, singing, Lord, please, if you help me get through, I'll treat you for eternity. Sipping on your phone. Before you knew it, you slipped and then flipped up off the road. Now you're praying, hoping for a bright life. If I make it, God, I swear I'm gonna act right. But I'm good.
ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of salvation to everyone.
Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. Thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about, and In all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. And now it is time for our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Revelation chapter 3, verse 6. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 6.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath, the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Ooh, we got good information there. Let us hear what it says one more time.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
And that, of course, is found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Revelation chapter 3, verse 6. Revelation chapter 3, verse 6, which tells us, he that has ears, open them up and hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 6. Amen. Amen. And who is the church? Are the churches? We are. We are the church. Those who have been blood-bought, born again, we are the church. And so let those that have ears hear what the Spirit says unto the church.
Amen.
Because if you listen, God will speak. And that's the way she goes. Amen. And as we continue to roll on tonight with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, we just want you to know, if you press the number one, join the conversation here at 424-243-9617. We'll open your mic. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to have your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. And we'd just be glad to hear from you. Amen.
Did you come to give God some praise tonight, everybody? Come on, make some noise for Jesus. His name is worthy of all glory, and that's what we're going to give him tonight.
Jesus.
Hey, what's up, rehabbers across the world? Trent here.
Connect with me at TrentShelton.com, Twitter Trent Shelton, Instagram Trent Shelton, Facebook like Trent Shelton. Another week, another favor. Please like and share this video. They're reaching people all across the world, like I said before. That has nothing to do with me. Of course, it's God, and it's you that's helping me spread that message. So thank you. I want you to know right now that you are too strong to live life hurt. You are too beautiful to let someone else's ugly ways make you insecure yourself. So stop crying over that person that's making somebody else smile. And let God bring you the person who wants to make you smile. Stop chasing after that person that keeps breaking your heart over and over. And let God bring you the person that wants to repair your heart, that wants to cherish your heart, that wants to protect your heart. Your worth, people, should be more than just feeling special sometimes. Your worth should be more than just feeling appreciated sometimes. Your worth should be more than just feeling loved sometimes. Why settle for being important in their life only when they choose for you to be? Stop settling for standby when your heart deserves to be treated first class. It's time to stop asking why they hurt you and know why you deserve better. It's time to stop asking why they cheated and know why you won't give them the chance to do it again. There's nothing wrong about you. So stop thinking it's you. Stop blaming yourself. There's nothing wrong about you. It's just that there's nothing right about them. The heart that's meant to love you will give you respect. The heart that's meant to love you will make you feel special. The heart that's meant to love you will appreciate you for you. Someone who cares about you doesn't get their power from seeing you hurt. Someone who cares about you doesn't get their joy from seeing you weak. Doesn't get their smile from seeing you cry. Someone who cares about you wants to see the best you. They don't want to see it hurt you. Because when you truly love somebody, when they hurt, you hurt. When they cry, you cry. You understand that y'all might not have it all together, but together, y'all have it all. So you out there that's watching this video, man or woman, boy or girl, I want you to know that you don't deserve to live life hurt. But it does no good to know what you don't deserve when you still choose to accept it. Don't ask, why was I not good enough? And know why they weren't good enough for you. You're beautiful. Smile. But it all starts with you. It's rehab time. I'll be praying for you.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang. And I'm Emily Barnum. And we're Blind Trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com. and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, now it is time for Tim and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
And the Hebrew word for this week is Pesach, Pesach, the context of the Torah, the Hebrew Tanakh there in the book of Exodus, we read about the first Passover, the first Pesach, when God brought his people, children of Israel, out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And even so, it is through the ultimate Pesach, who is Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for the sins of the world and was raised again the third day, that you exit the house of bondage, the bondage of sin and death, and the condemnation of the very wrath of God no longer abides upon you. So, God declared, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So the question is, does God see the blood of the Pesach, who is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh? Does he see it on you? Okay, Kenny.
And that was our Hebrew Word of the Week by Tim. And we hope you all enjoyed. Amen. Amen. And we are rolling along here with the Success Gospel Bus on the Success Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study. And we are fast approaching Ruth's Bible Prophecy. We hope everybody will stay tuned for that, as well as the song and poem that Pastor Bonnet has to do. Will he get the right buzzer or the wrong buzzer again tonight as we go into that? So stay tuned. We got a few more songs of inspiration for you tonight as we roll along. And here we go.
When you see me, I'm in uptown, baby. What you know about me? Oh, nothing really. Well, it's changed that. See, I came back and took a break, but now break that. Formerly known, yeah, I made that. And them cartoons every Saturday. Get your breakfast, tell them play that. Yeah, I got lines like barcodes. Y'all got jokes like Bart Simpson on bar phones. How you acting dumb on your smartphone? Bitch is a man, so I stay looking. Captain S, like I'm straight Brooklyn. Oh, your life so hard. Why don't you face your problems on Facebook? Say you try to make the straight crooked with the porn stains, but I ain't looking. I got bands that'll make her dance. That's a wedding ring for my wife. Bling, I'ma say that twice. Bling, ladies, if you ain't got one, don't give him none. True love is waiting, and you so worth that. I know you heard some bull crap, but if you're headed on the wrong path, go ahead and turn back. You're never too far to be made new. They said you did was good, that ain't true. I testify to that, I ain't lying, Jack. Check with my whole crew. Whoa.
Why are you all me? Nothing, no, nothing. Why are you all me? Nothing, no, nothing. I know you will, I know you will.
You will, my sin it cost a grip, but Jesus paid the bill. You don't believe in miracles, I'll show you why they real. Some rappers don't got skill, but somehow they got a deal. Weird, I'm riding around in this airport, flying around in my skateboard, and my glasses on like a straight dart. So your money's done with these days short. I love the haters, so I pray for them. See them hearts, we aim for them. So I tell the world that we stay torn and do it all way, you won't change for them. This ain't no fast food, nope, nope, you can't order us. They looking so confused. What's the formula? We just really want more of God. Now we don't want more of us, cause he did it. We giving him thanks even when they ain't awarding us. And them strip clubs, money drugs, come on cuz, you boring us. We've heard it all before, and I'm still under pressure, that sort of stuff. We were made for more though, with them award shows. And you thank Christ, that lip service don't mean nothing if you ain't about that life.
Why are you all me? Nothing, no. Bye.
they think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best,
oh my,
is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a... My brother, my brother, my brother. What you know, woman? Is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, rehabbers across the world? Trent here. I need a huge favor. This video could be for you or someone that you know, so I ask that you press like and press share so we can get this video passed on. But right now, I want you to smile at yourself because you're beautiful. And let nothing, I mean nothing, nobody, no opinion, tell you any different. The thing I learned about life is that most people are going to see your flaws and not your beauty. It's sad, but it's true. You're going to be imperfect to most, but you'll always be perfect for the heart that God has for you. You got to understand that there's going to be somebody somewhere at some time that's going to find something wrong with you. But the something wrong that they find is nothing but the something right to the heart that's searching for you. You might be too big or too small in their eyes, but you're the perfect size for the heart that's meant to love you. You might be too outgoing or too shy in their eyes, but guess what? You got the perfect personality for the heart that's meant to love you. You might be too black, too white, too brown in their eyes, but you're the perfect color for the heart that's meant to love you. The first step to being unhappy in life, I learned this a long time ago. The first step to being unhappy in life is trying to please everybody else. People are different and have different tastes, but never let those differences make you insecure who you are. I want you to stop spending so much time in the mirror judging yourself, critiquing yourself, bashing yourself. And I want you to start spending the rest of your days loving and appreciating yourself. You're beautiful because God says so. And that's all the confirmation that you need. I said this before and I'll say it again. There will always be something about you that's not right to a person who's not right for you. Your flaws are perfect for the heart that's meant to love you. I'll say it again. Your flaws are perfect for the heart that's meant to love you. Find someone who accepts you for you. Never forget that. I want you to stay beautiful, and I want you to keep practicing that smile. It all starts with you. It's rehab time.
You've got the word. Hit on all sides, falling through space, through time, through seasons, spring, summer, winter, and fall, drowning, can't breathe, dying, body breaks, back pinned against a brick wall. But I've got the word. There's no chains holding me. The word, you heard me? Resist him, y'all. He's got to flee. John 10:10 said the Lord gave us life, and life he gave us more abundantly. Stand tall, stand strong and proud, and rest on the word. The enemy comes with his chains to beat me down and cause great pain, but I look him dead in his eye. I'm a baller, son. I now have new life. I tell that turd to back up off me. Yeah, I once was blind, but now I see. And now I'm focused on what lies before me. And that's the word. So when you think all hope is lost and your fate has been sealed, rest assured, you've got the word. Victory, power over death, sickness and destruction. In the mighty, matchless, miracle working name of Jesus, I declare that cancer can't take you. By his stripes, you are healed. You've got life. You've got Christ. And that's the word.
Amen. And now we're going to continue on with the show and with a few messages as we get into our heading into Ruth's Bible Prophecy and some good messages tonight. And we hope everybody continues to stay tuned as we get into the good stuff tonight. Amen.
Oh. Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel splendor.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-F-O-R, the number 1-Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are blessed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and tonight for my message, I'll be going into Psalm 15th Division, Psalm 15, and we'll be reading all of the verses found in Psalm 15, which is verses 1 through 5. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5.
Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, in his eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved.
All right. All right. Now, throughout here, we're going to have Emily reading slowly this back as we go through this very slowly, but we will notice a person who has and the character of a person who will end up standing before God with a good conscience. And let us start from the very beginning again. And it says,
Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?
Now you notice, it asks a rhetorical question here. Who? Who? What kind of person shall dwell in thy tabernacle, in God's house? Who shall dwell in his holy hill? Who? What kind of person? What kind of person does God say will dwell where he dwells? Now it goes on to tell you. The psalmist David goes on to tell you. And let's see what he tells us is the kind of person that will dwell where God dwells.
He that walketh uprightly.
The first thing the person must be is they must walk uprightly. Walketh uprightly. That means he stands on what he says and does what he says he's going to do. He walks uprightly. He stands upon the Bible, stands upon God's word, and he does what the Bible says it says it says. And then it goes on to say,
and worketh righteousness.
And worketh righteousness? Now think about it. Not only walketh uprightly, but worketh righteousness. Not evil, but righteousness. Doing which is right. Doing that which is right. Amen. And then it goes on to say,
and speaketh truth in his heart.
Now, how many of us fit that one? It's not enough for you to tell the truth with your lips. Not enough to make sure you're always telling the truth. But it goes on to say here, speaketh the truth in his heart. That means you got to be an honest person with yourself. The saying always goes, you could lie to some of the people some of the time, and you could lie to most of the people most of the time, but you can't fool me. Well, the saying should go further to say, but you can't lie to yourself. You never can lie to yourself because you know what the real truth is. You know whether you're telling the truth or not. And that's what the Bible says. He that tells the truth in his heart is the person who's going to dwell with God. Amen. And then it goes on to say,
and he that backbiteth not with his tongue.
Ouch. Most of us could say, ouch, the brick hit us. Ouch, that was a ton of bricks that hit us. Ouch. Should have been wearing our steel-toed boots and our hard hats for that one. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. How many times have you went behind somebody's back and said that dirty so-and-so and so on and so forth? Huh? 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 You want to dwell with God? You want to dwell with God? You can't do that backbiting with your tongue. That dirty little member inside of your mouth is going to get you in a lot of trouble, you dirty rat and rascal, you. The Bible says the tongue is full of evil. It's a little member, but it's set on course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. That little member. How bad can it be? But remember, when you're backbiting with your tongue, you're not going to be with God. You're going to have a lot to answer for.
Amen. And let's go on and see what it also says.
Nor doeth evil to his neighbor.
Ooh. Now, who is our neighbor, according to Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, who is my neighbor? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother, sister, etc. And he went on to say, who is my neighbor, when the lawyer asked him that question, and he had the parable of the Samaritan who went down through Jericho and helped the guy who laid sick while the Pharisee and all the ritzy priests and all that wouldn't help him. And he said, who was the neighbor unto him? The man who helped him. He said, go and do likewise. Who is your neighbor? Every single human being on this planet is your neighbor. So he that doeth evil to his neighbor. Hello? Ever do evil to your neighbor? Hello? Hello? Am I preaching to the air here tonight? Am I preaching to the four walls tonight? Hello? Hello? If you can't say amen, say ouch. We've all done evil to our neighbors. Amen. We've all done evil to our neighbors. Because our neighbor is every human being that's on this planet. And trust me, we've all done evil. We backbit with our tongue, done evil to our neighbor. And God says, you want to dwell with him. He's not going to put up with that. Amen, you dirty, rotten rascal, you. Amen. Now let's see what else it has to say.
Nor taketh a reproach against his neighbor.
Ooh, it's not just enough to be not doing evil to your neighbor, but you can't take a reproach against your neighbor either. Ouch. Ouch. Boy, this message tonight is hitting some folks. Sorry about that, but I tried to warn you. You should have wore your steel-toed boots and your hard hats tonight. That does a reproach against his neighbor. Have you ever done a reproach against your neighbor? God says, you want to dwell in his tabernacle and in his holy hill. You're not supposed to do those things. Amen. And then it goes on to say,
in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord.
Now you notice what it says? In whose eyes the people that do these kind of things, the vile man is condemned or contemned, but he honors them who fear the Lord. He honors him who fears the Lord. Amen. He honors him who fears the Lord. But there's more. There's more. And it says,
he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not.
Okay, how many of you done this one? How many of you have done this one? Swear to your own hurt. Now, what does it mean to swear here? I don't mean you're saying all those bad little words that the little kiddies shouldn't hear. Swear here means to make a promise. How many of you made a promise to somebody? And then when it was time to fulfill that promise, you changed not, even though it hurt. Who did it hurt? You. Not the one you made the promise to. No, you kept your word, even though it hurt you inevitably. Whether it caused you physical pain, financial pain, emotional pain, or whatever kind of pain, you did it anyway, kept your promise, even though it hurt. You swore to your own hurt, and you notice what it said, and you changed not. They changed not. They swore to their own hurt and changed not. How many of you can say you lived up to that one? Very tough one. Amen. And then it goes on to say,
he that putteth not out his own money to usury.
Now, this is a person that puts his money, it says, a man that puts his money out toward getting interest. He's worried about gaining interest. Usury is interest. So he puts his money into the bank hoping to get extra money back that he did not earn himself. He puts his money into the bank hoping to get extra money that he didn't earn, but he got extra money, paid money for keeping his money in the bank. Paid for saving his money in a bank account. It's called usury. He got paid interest on his money. And so that's what he did. He got more worried about getting interest money and gaining to get big bucks. Said he that put out his money to usury. God says, that's not the kind of person he's looking for, someone looking for gain, big bucks. And then it goes on to say,
nor taketh reward against the innocent.
Ooh, now how about that one? How many times have you known somebody that was totally not doing anything wrong, and then you saw somebody else do something to them that was rotten and evil, and they were doing it to gain reward? This is what the scripture is saying. That kind of person, God says, they're not going to ever be in his tabernacle or in his holy hill, because they take reward against the innocent, because that's all they're after, is money, gain. Amen. And it goes on to say,
he that doeth these things shall never be moved.
Oh, I love how this ends. You want to be in his tabernacle? Do you want to be in his holy hill? You do all of these things. You do the good things, like not putting your money out through usury, not taking reward against the innocent, not backbiting with your tongue, not taking a reward against your neighbor, not taking a reproach against your neighbor, swearing to your own hurt and changing not. It says in its conclusion, he that does all these good things shall never be moved. Moved from where? God's holy hill, from his tabernacle. And that's what it says they're going to be not moved from. Amen. And so, in conclusion, if you're out there tonight and you've been hit with one of these bricks, let me tell you, there's a solution tonight. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you don't know the Lord, you need to do more than that. You need to come to Christ. Ask him in as your personal Lord and Savior, and ask him to save your soul tonight. Because you, if you're not saved, will never stand in God's holy hill or in his tabernacle, because he will not accept an uncleansed sinner into his presence. He will only accept blood-bought, born-again people into his presence. But if you are saved, blood-bought, born-again, and have not lived up to these things found in Psalm 15, then you need to take 1 John 1, 9 into consideration and confess those sins, and he said he is faithful and just to forgive you for those sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. And that, tonight, is my little message right here
for the Wednesday night Bible study. God bless you all. All right, now it is time to see if Pastor Bonnet could tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
Well, I had 2 weeks vacation coming, so I thought I'd drive down to Florida, spend some time with an old friend, date a few girls, make a few parties, and just kind of live it up again. So I packed up my car, and then I called my mom in Tennessee and told her what I'd planned to do. And she said, son, are you coming by? And I said, Mom, I'm really pushed for time. But honey, I'll see you in a week or two. And I was driving through this little town in Georgia when I remembered today is Mama's birthday. Well, I thought I'd just stop and wire some flowers. Shouldn't take too long. Then I'd be on my way. So I walked in the flower shop, and the first thing I saw was this little boy with his eyes full of tears. And I said, son, what's wrong? And he said, Mama loves roses, and today is her birthday, and I haven't seen her in almost a year.
My mother. She was love. God sent her to us from above. No great careers, no one great deed could give her fame to fortune lean. As I recall her smiling face, I see a queen of stately grace. She wove a life of golden lace that time and tears cannot erase. She was my mother. She gave the most that there was to give. She knew no other way to live. She never wanted wealth or gold. Wounds she trained could not be sold. As memoirs of time unfold, I feel the love her life did hold. When her heart could give no more, God opened up another door to paradise and joys unknown, to reap the love so dearly sown. In obeying God, she truly won. He chose to give her peace and sweet repose. The work is over, new life begun. In obeying God, she truly won.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right, all right.
wonderful timing. I tell you, we just celebrated Mother's Day, and both of these song and poem was a tribute to Mother. There's a phrase in our community that says, give Mama her flowers while she's alive. And I think that's what this poem and this song was about, celebrating Mother while she's here, giving thanks to God for the mother, because when she's gone with him. So I think the common theme between the two poems would be to not just celebrate, but thank God for mothers, for your mom while she's here, before the Lord take her home. So that would be my thought concerning this, you know, giving Mama her flowers. So thank God for Mama while she's here.
Well, you hit that one square between the eyes. I was wondering if you'd get that one, because that one didn't have a spiritual theme. That one had the physical theme of giving your mama her flowers while she yet lived, and you did get that one. I was wondering if you would. So you did get that one. Amen.
All right. Yeah, I don't have to blow up the little negative buzzer. So I'm glad I got it. I'm always remembering my mom because she was just dear to me. My mom introduced me and my brothers and sisters to Christ at a young age. She prayed with us often. She made sure we prayed. And so she taught us how to love God. And so I'm so thankful for my mom. So, and we just celebrated Mother's Day. So I'm telling you, but I don't need Mother's Day to remember my mom. I just remember that my life would be so different if it wasn't for my mom. So I'm thankful. And thank you, Ms. Mary Ken, for this wonderful poem and song, reminding us all to love on our mothers while we have them.
Amen. And now we're going to move on with our program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Walk among us and many so far away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere too. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Thank you.
This lesson is the Bible and science. In all ages, and especially in our modern 20th century, there are those people who are afraid that the Bible is not really the sacred word of the Almighty God. There are those folk who believe that modern-day science, with its long tentacles of human investigation, its sharp-pronged inquisitiveness, might uncover something which would overthrow the Christian's belief and trust in the Bible. The world is presently filled with a social gospel and approach of progressive evolution in the first book in the Bible, Genesis. Relative to the creation of mankind, the progressive evolutionists are endeavoring to discount the early Genesis account of God, bringing Adam on the world scene. Personally, I accept the Bible account of God saying, "Let us make man in our image," when God said he was going to create man in his own image and create mankind male and female. The Bible also says he breathed unto them the breath of physical life, and they became living souls, living man and woman with spirits. They didn't become zoophytes or trilobites or polywogs, later developing into tadpoles. They became living human beings in one creative act of God. The progressive evolutionist teaches that the tadpole began a fish, or begat a fish, excuse me. The fish begat a reptile, and the reptile begat a quadruped, and the quadruped begat a baboon. The baboon begat something that got lost. The something that got lost was our forefather, but this is contrary to the word of God because the scripture tells us that God made a man by the name of Adam in his own likeness. My reason for bringing this lesson on the Bible and science is to show you there is no contradiction or conflict between the Bible and true science. By way of explanation, it might be beneficial if we would investigate the true meaning of the word science. Webster's New Word Dictionary defines it in this manner: systemized knowledge derived from observation, study, and experimentation carried on in order to determine the nature of principles of what is being studied. In this present day and age, when literally millions of students are the products of our modern schools of thought and possessing newfound enlightenment, roam the dark caverns of secular learning, we're being bombarded continually by those individuals who would seek to tear down the integrity of God's holy word. But as a minister, well, actually, I'm actually a teacher of the gospel, one has been called, ordained, and sent of God to preach or teach God's holy message in these days of apostasy. I declare unto you, there is no conflict or opposition between the Bible and true science. what is taking place in the world in the realm of scientific explorations, not only in the regions of outer space, but down in the deep, dark valleys underneath the seas, as well as drill things into the heart of the Earth's crust, is being carried on in the name of science. And before God allows this present generation to come to a sudden end, every book of the Bible, which possesses a hard-to-comprehend passage, will be confirmed early, either in archaeology, geology, or some other scientific field. Ancient cities of the Middle East, such as Babylon, Nineveh, Jerusalem, Tyre, and Sidon, where the cradle of the scriptures was rocked long centuries old, as well as the Egyptian hieroglyphics, are loudly crying into the ears of the scientific world, the Bible is correct, everlastingly correct. Some agnostics come along and say, well, how do you account for these seashells, seaweeds, and skeletons of sea animals found on top of some of the highest mountains and deep inside the earth? With the waters of the great flood before Adam and the great flood in Noah's day did not rise above the mountains, then there'd be no explanation for the deposits of seashells, seaweeds, and skeletons of sea animals, which are being discovered by those who are unearthing the crust of the earth. But God's word says those mountains were covered with water. There are those who scornfully disbelieve the story of fire and brimstone coming down and engulfing the two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, but today we are learning that the scriptures are being unexpectedly confirmed because the geologists who have come to those regions have found the actual remains of those two cities beneath the lake which buried Sodom and Gomorrah. For years I have heard people laugh when the story of Lot's wife coming back and turning into a pillar of salt was read from scripture as discussed at any length. The salty waters of the Dead Sea, under which Sodom and Gomorrah lie, buried testify to the fact that they sting your tongue, and in 4 hours you cannot get rid of the nauseating taste which the burning brimstone dropped into the body of water, along with the salt, which was deposited in that area at the time of the great conflagration when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And I just tell you most emphatically that according to the scriptures which we have contained in this Bible of 66 books, there's absolutely no conflict or argument between the Bible and true science. The Word of God sets forth certain statements, not necessarily always explaining those statements, and then true science will, when it has occasion to examine and evaluate the facts, always agrees completely with the Bible. I stand true science always agrees completely with the Bible. For instance, as one looks up into the sky on a clear, bright night, he beholds an innumerable host of little shining lights which seem to twinkle. We call these lights the stars. The first mentioning of stars is in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. That's what Genesis means, beginning. Here is just a simple 5-word statement to declare that God made the stars. Scripture, he made the stars also, Genesis 1:16 in the King James Version. You will note in the simple declaration of God's creation of the stars that no explanation whatsoever is contained in it. God really uses 5 little words to declare unto mankind that he made the stars. Nothing else is revealed at this particular first mentioning. In recent years, at various scientific explorations have been carried on, new light of understanding have been shed on these 5 words. He made the stars also. Several of the astronauts, having observed from their positions high above the earth that the stars did not have a twinkling effect, but they were steady, bright, shining lights. Doesn't that show you? For long centuries, mankind has been puzzled as to the reason why the stars, which God originally placed up in the second heaven as bright, shining lights, twinkle or seem to twinkle. We're now discovering that what was written in the book of Job about 3,500 years ago is really the scientific explanation for the twinkling of the stars. 35 centuries ago, Job recorded that in the beginning of the creation of this earth, God wrapped his present planet in a thick blanket of darkness. Let us read this verse from God's word. When I made the cloud of the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. Job 38:9 in the King James Version. At the time of creation, God placed this thick blanket of darkness in the first heaven, where the darkness and the clouds are located, together with the clouds as a garment, covering from this earth. Then later, when he created the sun, moon, and stars, he placed them in orbit around the earth out in the second heaven. And God made 2 great lights. The greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also. Genesis 1:16, of course, in your King James Version. As the astronauts who have ascended into outer space have ascended back to the earth, fact, like, all of them have told us that they were strikingly impressed by the vast blanket of inky black darkness which is wrapped around the earth. Some of them at an extreme height above the earth received remarkably clear views of the second heaven where the sun, moon, and stars are located. They're impressed with the fact that the stars were not actually twinkling as we on earth have thought for so many centuries, but because the stars were penetrating their light to us down here on the earth through the first heaven where the clouds and darkness are located, they appear to be twinkling. In all reality, they are not twinkling. They're really steady, bright, shining lights. Thus, there is no conflict between the Bible and true science. True science merely makes a systematized observation, a study and experimentation of a particular given subject. Invariably, true science always arrives at the same conclusion as was projected in the first mentioning of that particular subject in the Bible. During explorations in one of the lower valleys of Southern California, in the process of drilling a deep 6,000-foot hole into the earth, and oil drilling from thought, they had a rich oil strike. It sounded like an oil well was coming in, and everyone was hilariously over the fact that the black gold was about to be discovered in the desert of Southern California. But when the gusher came in, it was only hissing white steam. For some time, scientists have scoffed at the idea of this present earth being on fire, but geologists are digging down through the earth's crust, and they are finding that this globe is an incandescent, molten, burning, ever ready to erupt volcano. The lava which has poured forth from the mouths of such volcanoes as Vesuvius, Etna, and others is absolute proof that the Word of God is far up ahead of science. There are coal mines throughout the world that have been on fire for many years. The Bible tells us that the heart of this earth was set afire by God himself, and the fire is slowly burning outward, consuming the crusts of the earth, and will eventually destroy and consume the foundations of the mountains. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn upon the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Deuteronomy 33:22. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and they contain various descriptions of creation, God's dealings with lost mankind, the story of redemption, and the coming again of God's king. These chapters will continue to stand firm and true until the blessed pages of the inspired book disintegrate in the final fires, which God's word says are already kindled and getting hotter from the flames of 1,000 atomic explosions, such as the one experienced at Hiroshima. There's no conflict between the Bible and true science. Every scientific discovery only affirms ancient scripture. The Bible is the only book in all the world in which you can place your complete trust and confidence. It has weathered the hate of the agnostics through long ancient centuries and will stand fresh and true until the last pilgrim has been waved through the gates of glory. It's the book of eternity. The scientific revelations are currently being given to inquisitive mankind as positive proof and absolute confirmation of age-old mysteries which have been written on the pages of God's holy word for many centuries. For instance, in the ages before Adam was created, the Bible tells us the entire surface of the earth was covered with water. Scripture and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Genesis 1:9. This verse of Old Testament scripture tells us, and in the ages before God created Adam, the entire surface of this present earth was covered over with water. Nowhere did dry land appear or protrude out of the water, but in order that one-fourth of the surface of the earth might become dry, tillable land upon which mankind would be able to provide a living for himself. God had to prepare special basins in the earth's surface to gather or contain the water. The Bible tells us he called those special places seas. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. Genesis 1:10 KJV. In order to control the vast amount of water, which became three-fourths of the earth's surface, necessary that some kind of a retaining wall or buffer zone be placed along the edge of the seashore. From our experience, we know that concrete, steel, rocks, or other heavy objects have not proven successful. God placed the sand along the seashore to retain the waters of the seas. Scripture, or who shut up the sea with doors and set bars and doors and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Job 38:8-11 KJV. God realized that because of death, decay, and petrifaction, the physical earth must constantly be cleansed of its impurities and filthiness. One of the cleansing methods is a truly marvelous arrangement by which the tides gently wash the coastlines of the earth every 12 hours. Through the process of a gentle tipping of the earth's surface, which slowly lowers the coastline into the sea, and after the cleansing, slowly brings it back up, dipping the coast on the opposite side of the land into the sea, God is able to keep the earth surgically clean. This systematic continuing process is called tides, because a thick belt of sand around the seashores and the gentle tipping of the earth to produce tides. This wonderful scientific cleansing has been going on for long centuries without one failure. You must remember, the sea is a very necessary part of this earth system. Because of its salt solution, the sea is actually a preserving force. Refuse from the earth more or less flows into the sewers. Sewers emptied into the filtering plants. The filtering plants drain their waste into the rivers, and the rivers flow into one of the seven seas. The tides carry the debris and all contamination out to the depths of the sea, and all this waste and foreign matter is consumed by scavenger fish, which God created and placed in the seas on the fifth day of creation. Scripture, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. Genesis 1:20, King James Version. Any refuse or contamination left in the sea by the fishes is finally purified through a special system whereby the seas and oceans are all connected together. The seawater filters down through the ocean beds into deep subterranean channels and is constantly boiled by the fierce fire in the lower regions of the earth, set ablaze by God and placed there for several reasons. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Deuteronomy 32:22, KJV. This unique filtering system placed by God in the lower regions of the earth, by which the seawater filters down through into caverns and is heated to an unusually high degree of heat by the fire in the bowels of the earth, he's spoken of in the Bible this way. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. Water spouts here refer to the inner ocean or connections between the different seas. Psalm 42:7. In case you may not fully understand the meaning of the words deep in this verse of scripture, it refers to the seas. It's further established in the first chapter of Genesis where we read, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, a body of water. Genesis 1:2, King James Version. Scientists have now discovered that there are more than 200 hot streams of water coming up through the ocean beds in different parts of the earth. These hot streams of water are known as Gulf Streams. For several hundreds of miles, water gradually ascends from the floor of the ocean up along the coastlines in some areas, bringing an unusual climate and unique marine growth caused solely by the fact that the water is warm. So it's able to supply life-giving qualities because of its degree of temperature. All this is brought about because God connected the various basins which hold the earth's water supply by tunnels, at the same time starting a fire in the lower regions of the earth, and this produces in the polluted seawater the same action that takes place in a coffee percolator. After the seawater has been filtered down into the depths of the sea, it's boiled and sterilized by the fire in the lower regions of the earth. This sterilization process is accelerated by the salt solution in the sea when it's boiled, and the same action takes place as that which takes place in a coffee-making machine. A filtering and cleansing of the seawater is the result. This is the manner in which the present earth is kept clean and sanitary day by day, month in and month out, and this process has been going on for long centuries. Therefore, there's no conflict between the Bible and true science. For many centuries, unbelieving scientists have tried to push Jehovah God from his sovereign throne, take control of his empire, and make the one book, which is God's great communication to the lost souls of the human race, appear obsolete and complete folly. Many are charging the Bible as an unscientific book. The Bible says that light was in existence before the sun was created. Naturally, the scientists want to know how this could have been possible, since the scientists say that all light comes from the sun. The Bible doesn't say that light comes from the sun, because light was made on the first day of creation. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5. The sun and the stars were created on the fourth day. Scripture. And the God made two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Genesis 1, 16 and 19. Problem contained in the assumption by the scientists that light comes from the sun because of a misunderstanding on the part of man, not of God. The scientist doesn't have all the facts, and he jumps to speculative conclusions. In so doing, he makes tragic mistakes. Light doesn't come from the sun. Light was made on the first day of creation. Sun was made on the fourth day. The Bible and the true science always agree, so check up on the scientist to see if it's true or false. Bible is always correct. Voltaire, the infamous atheist, said that the Bible account of the dissolving of the golden calf was a chemical impossibility. According to the knowledge of the scientists of his day, it appeared to him to be a chemical impossibility, but at the very moment he wrote, there was no less than a half a hundred shops in Paris where gold was held in solution. As modern scientists today knew, gold is dissolved as other metals are, showing no discrepancy between the Bible and true science. For long centuries, mankind has been continually disturbed regarding an explanation of three particular Bible verses, two in the Old Testament and one in the New. These verses contain a phrase for which there seems to be no feasible understanding in the realm of scientific explanation. Here's the first one. And he set up a sign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11 and verse 12. Here's the second verse. Also, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, and the end is come upon the four corners of the land, Ezekiel 7, 2 in the King James Version. Here is the verse from the New Testament, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. For long centuries, unbelieving scientists have laughed up their proverbial sleeves at Christian men and women who believed that a round earth had four little corners until recently we Bible believers have not been able to give an all-encompassing feasible answer to their questions relative to a round earth having four corners. But the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory, through the medium of orbiting satellites, has made certain scientific measurements of the earth's land surface, and they have discovered that the earth does have four corners. Although the books of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Revelation, and God's Word have told us for long centuries the earth has four corners, we have not had physical proof until recently. Through exact measurements, it has been established that there are four corners of the earth's surface, which are 228 higher than they would be if the earth was completely round. The four-cornered design has been established by calculating the changes in the orbits of globe-circling satellites and the four corners of the earth are definitely established as a physical reality. One of the Earth's four corners centers over Ireland in the Northern Hemisphere. The second corner extends across the equator from New Guinea northward toward Japan. The third corner is south of Africa, centered about halfway to Antarctica, and the fourth corner is west of South America, which is a high point off Peru. Ever since Magellan proved that the Earth is round, scientists have been endeavoring to prove and he was completely wrong. Yet, through the medium of orbiting satellites, measurements of the Earth's surface have established the fact that Magellan was correct in believing the Earth round, while at the same time they had reaffirmed the three courses or verses of ancient scripture stating the Earth has four corners. There's no conflict between the Bible and true science. In his holy word, God oftentimes merely makes mention of a specific situation or circumstance, and then for some reason, which we dare not question, he does not give an explanation. Perfect example of this is the creation of the stars, where he gives only five words in describing the creation. He made the stars also. Down through the years, science has been much like the little boy who, at the age of 13, considered his father one of the most ignorant men he had ever known. Then at the age of 21, the young man, grown to early manhood, was amazed at what his father had learned in such a short time. God knows the end of the thing before the beginning. Everything in existence today was brought into being by God. Mankind is growing up into adulthood, as it were, and man is beginning to discover and be amazed at how much God really knows. There's absolutely no conflict between Scripture and true science. As I have said, the great architect of the universe brought everything into being, and in his holy book, the Bible, we have various statements known as first mentionings. These first mentionings of various phases, creation of the universe, God merely sets forth the principle or the cause involved, such as the sun, moon, stars, seas, clouds, and so forth. God is not honor-bound to explain anything. He can merely declare it and leave it there. We have a tremendous upsurge of scientific knowledge permeating the minds of a great segment of our population, and these so-called scientists who did not accept the Bible as the Word of God have become intellectually intoxicated with their newfounding learning. Actually, in no wise do they discredit the Word of God. We who are familiar with God's holy word, we who in some cases have spent half a lifetime or longer studying it, see in these scientific findings not a disproval or refuting of God's word, but rather a confirmation of that word, the Bible. A perfect example of this situation has become a reality since the perfection of the 200-inch telescope on Mr. Palomar in Southern California. I have a resident of Southern California. My family, not me. During the years when the observatory was being built high on a mountain away from the smog and industrial smoke of Los Angeles to give scientists clear observation of the heavenly bodies, I visited Mount Palomar during early construction days before the telescope was installed and later since it has become man's front door to the universe. I before an actual photograph issued by the Palomar Observatory in Southern California, and it shows 144,000-mile high frame on the surface of the sun. It's a fantastic picture, brings out what I've been saying, true science really confirms scripture. The photograph confirms the word of God is recorded in the book of Revelation, in the last book of the Bible. There are several references which discuss a lake of fire. One of the verses has to do with the completion of the great white throne judgment, which time every unbeliever of all ages will stand before Jesus Christ, who will be the judge at that judgment. And if his name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, the Bible says he'll be cast into the lake of fire. Here's the scripture. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20:15, KJV. For many years, the agnostic, the scoffer, and run-of-the-mill unbeliever has laughed up his proverbial sleeve because he could not see with his own eyes the lake of fire which God discusses in the book of Revelation. From all physical appearances, no such lake exists, according to the unbeliever, so he has felt secure in his unbelief and in his scoffing that an actual hell does not exist. But through the 200-inch telescope on Mount Palomar in Southern California, through the medium of photographic satellites circling the Earth, and through the scientific advancement of photography and optics, we now have an actual photograph of the lake of fire, which is the sun, S-U-N, which is to become the second death. Revelation 20:14-15 in KJV. This revelation of scientific discovery continues to prove and confirm the fact that God knew what he's talking about in the first place when he had his secretaries of old record on pages of Holy Writ that there was a lake of fire. There is no actual conflict between scripture and true science. The word sets forth the declaration, and science declares that such is an actuality, that is a true science. We're living in days of tremendous scientific discovery, days in which the world has become hungry intellectually, days when truth is treated more lightly and when it's disregarded by the masses of humanity. Let me conclude this section of our book, or lesson, I'm sorry, by making two statements to which I invite you to note very carefully. There's no conflict between Holy Scripture and true science. There are two things which God is anxious about, two things he will act upon in a quick manner. One is to save a repentant sinner, and the other is to comfort a dear one in bereavement. God is ever willing to spread a canopy of grace and understanding over those who have placed a loved one beneath the sod. He's even more anxious to save anyone who will come to him repenting of his sins so that God, through his son Jesus Christ, might give him forgiveness of sins. Write his name in the Lamb's Book of Life and start him down the straight and narrow way, which leads in eternal happiness and eternal life. Creating this universe and all of its component elements, God knew what he was doing, and his will and his great overall plan has not changed one iota. The Bible and true science agree perfectly. Next lesson will be the Bible, God's Word.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address. 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter
$SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
We always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, Brother Jim, and me.
All right. Well, Emily, do you have any questions or comments tonight as we get ready to close out? All right. Looks like she didn't get her coffee. All right. Well, I think what we'll do, we'll get you to give us a closing prayer, Ruth, and we'll be out of here tonight.
We want to praise and bless your name, Lord, and hope people get saved and healed and all that that the Lord does. And we just want to praise and bless your name. We love you forever. Amen.
All right. And I want to remind everybody to join us tomorrow night for Brother Dr. Doug Quick, who will be in the house with us tomorrow night on the Jumbo Braille program. 9 p.m. here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And then 9 p.m. on Friday, AJ and the squad will be with us at 9 p.m. God bless everybody.